My scripture is taken from John 17, and we're starting with the first verse. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled." And I'm skipping to the 20th verse. "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on this message, the words that we bring. And Heavenly Father, let it be of help to those and understood as you would have it be. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. My message to you today is titled, Names and Things. And it's not intended to be just specifically on names, and that's where the things comes in. So as you know, today's Torah portion was about names. And I would like to go to my text, and I've taken this from Malachi 2:2. So let's call that up and look at that together. Malachi 2:2. "If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, and indeed I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. That is interesting. And you don't have to read too awfully far into the Bible or too awfully much of the Word of God to realize that names is very important to Yahweh. And it's very evident that Yahweh desires to be respected, honored, and we have that word there in our scripture, in our text. If you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name. And Yahweh wants his name to be honored because it is part of identification of who he is and what he is and what's the function. That he is the Yahweh, the only God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he does not want anything concerning him or his name to be done outside his will, outside what is right. When we look at names, we realize names can hurt and destroy. Names can heal and save. Names can describe or identify and convict. Names can bring to remembrance good and bad character, reactions, and events. People and places and things can be known by several names. Let's look at the Word of God and see what it says about having a good name. Let's go to Proverbs 20 and 22 and 1. Proverbs 22 and 1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. A good name. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7 and 1. Ecclesiastes 7 and 1. A good name is better than a good ointment, and the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Names. Have you ever thought about the good and righteous people of the Bible? And we learned earlier in our Torah portion that names identify by the name given, and that it has significance, and it perhaps will identify what the characteristics of that person is going to be in the future. Maybe the type of person. Maybe the attitude. Maybe what God has given to him as a gift for him to do, the person that he should be. Have you ever thought, how do you have a good name or report with God and man? How do you go about being the best that you can be and have a good name? Well, I've listed some that I think is very pertinent And I think we all should think about our individual lives, what life brings to us, how we deal with it. And in thinking about having a good name, being known by others and God as having a good name. And the first on the list is to study God's Word. To know the truth in God's Word and to obey or do the truth. We should be going about to receive the gifts that God has for us, such as the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of eternal life. And we know that all of these are freely given of God, and all of them are for us as His family. Be sincere. How many people have you been around in church and out of church that are not sincere? And what they do, sincerity, be sincere. Be dedicated. How many people have you known that's not particularly dedicated, rooted in the Word of God and the truth that's within there? Be righteous. That means know the right things that are pleasing to God and try to do them. Be consistent. You know, that's one of the things that really means a lot to me. I don't like for somebody to be inconsistent when it comes to their spiritual life, when it comes to being in the family of God. Be compassionate, be forgiving, keep your word. Be a person that's known for your integrity. I love the word integrity because it's so important for integrity to exist in each one of us. And the type of person that we are, and knowing God's worth and God's truth and what He requires of us, if we're willing to be in subjection to Him and know that, then we will be we will have integrity if we do that. Allow it to lead us and guide us and reign within us. Be forgiving. Keep your word. A person known for integrity. I'm repeating some of these. A positive attitude and outlook. How many of us are lacking in that? Does no good to be negative or have a negative attitude about practically everything. It always is better to have a positive attitude and outlook. Be humble. Be modest and moderate with godly balance. Those three words are important. Have modesty in your life. And whatever you do and say, it should reflect a degree, a righteous degree of modesty. And moderate in your way of life with a godly balance. And lastly, control your tongue. That is hard to do. I know that. And I know it from God's Word. Let's look at James 3, 5, 6, and 8. James 3, 5, 6, and 8. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. And then 8, I think it is. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. See how important a little member of our body is? And it has to be put in subjection just like the other body members. And just because it's small don't mean that it can do great things. Because it can. Have you ever thought about the men and women of the Bible and some of their character traits? Job. Let's look at Job 1 and 1 and see how he is described. And out of all of this that we're speaking of, you should be asking yourself, where do I stand in all of this? How do people look at me? If my name is mentioned, what comes to other people's mind? How am I known? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. That sounds like a good man, and it sounds like something that we ought to be trying to have in our life. And perhaps it could be said of us that we are blameless. And a man that fears God, and a person that tries to turn away from evil. In Job 1, 7 through 12, let's read what that says. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." Let's go on down. 7 through 12. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And his possessions were," and then it lists that. Let's go on down. I think we got on the wrong thing some way. Let's go back to Job 1, 7 through 12. Job 1. Okay, go on down. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. You see in that what type of man Job was? Do you see that God had a hedge of protection and blessing around Job because of the type of man that he was? He was blameless and he feared God. But Satan challenges God. And even though God placed a hedge of protection around him, God decided to take the hedge away and let Satan go to a certain point in testing Job. And Satan accuses God and Job. And in essence, Satan says, take that hedge away and he will turn from you and curse you. But that, let's see what Job's reactions was. Job's 1, 20 through 22. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is that telling you about what your attitude should be when things don't go like you think that they should? That you think you should be always protected and loved and nothing harmful and bad come into your life. But we're not promised a rose garden. We're promised that Yahweh is going to be with us when that time comes. And He will not only go in it with us, He'll go through it with us. Just like He did Job. And Job trusted God. And after all that Satan did to him, then Job said, Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think that's wonderful, and we could learn a lot from that. Let's look at Job 2 and 7 through 10. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Boils. I think blisters. And I've had one or two blisters recently in my mouth as a result of having partial. But that's one or two blisters in a certain part of my body. And Job had blisters from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Unreal. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Now listen to this about our closest of friends and spouses. Then the wife said to him, Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. This was Job's wife's reactions to what was happening to Job and his family. But he said to her, You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. How many of us can come to that point in our service to God that we would be able to stand that firm, even against our family, if that's what it took, and stand for God? Be obedient. Stand for His truth. Did you know that in thinking about names, that God changes some names at particular events and circumstances in certain people's lives? He can and does change some people's names. Abram was changed to Abraham. And this, of course, was during the time after God called him to go to the promised land. And after God came to the point in time that he was going to let Abraham know that he was a special vessel to him, and that he had a special service that he wanted Abraham to do. And he was to establish a covenant, an agreement between himself and Abraham. So Abram was changed to Abraham. Sarah was changed to Sarah. Jacob was changed to Israel. Let's look at Genesis. Well, just for your note, you can refer to Genesis 17, 15 and 16, and Genesis 32 and 28. In going to the very first part of the Bible and thinking of certain names that we might think of at any point in time connected with the Word of God, when you hear the name Cain and Abel, what immediately comes to your mind? Well, it should be the first children of Adam and Eve in Genesis 4, 1 and 2. And then you would think the first killer, and that of a family member, a brother killing a brother. Cain killed Abel, Genesis 4 and 8. The first blessing of God to man and woman. Let's look at Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the... It's going down. Of the sea and over the birds of the sky, and over everything that moves on the earth. The first blessing for mankind was when God blessed man and woman at that point. Let's see about the first blessing of a day. Genesis 2, 1 and 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God has created and made. Names. can be people, places, things, days. And God's blessing fell on the seventh day of each and every week, a Sabbath to Yahweh. How about the first gardener? Let's look at Genesis 2 and 8. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. So God was the first gardener. What about the first surgeon? Let's look at Genesis 2, 21 through 25. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." The first surgeon, God operates on Adam to bring Eve. When you think of the man Noah, what do you think of? He obeyed God. He did what God said and trusted God that what God had promised and told that he was going to do, he was going to do it. So Adam was going to obey, Noah was going to obey God. And God said, "Construct an ark. A flood is coming." And then God, as a sign of the promise that he made to Noah, God gave and created the first rainbow. And that was to be a sign that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. What about Babel or Babylon? It's the Hebrew word Balal, which means to confuse. And that was a point in time that God confused language of the whole earth and scattered the people that was at that point in time, all people. They had the same language. They were together. He confused their language to put them in their place, and he scattered them over all the earth. So different languages was what came of that. What about King Saul? What do you think about when you hear that name, King Saul? Well, the first king of Israel, and a person that committed suicide, fell on his sword. What about King David? Had a lot of problems with Saul. Was the man that was after God's own heart, but yet a man who had faults and who committed two sins, one of murder and one of adultery? What about Solomon? Rebuilt the temple. Wisest man on the earth. Many wives, evidently for political purposes. Names and associations with those names. Samson, Daniel, the three Hebrew children, Elijah, Isaiah. What about the name of Yeshua or Jesus Christ of Nazareth? What's some identifying characteristics there? Let's look in the Old Testament. See if we can identify some things that would come under the category of prophecies that were to come, considering the Messiah, the promised one. Let's go to Psalm 79 and 9. Psalm 79 and 9. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. We're speaking in the Old Testament of asking God to forgive our sins. Let's look at Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Another name for Jesus. Yeshua. Emmanuel. Let's look at Isaiah 9 and 6. And by the way, Emmanuel means God with us. Isaiah 9 and 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called, here we're in the names again, and it's speaking of Yeshua, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and there will be no end or to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness for then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. In Acts 4 and 12, and I'm closing quickly now, other characteristics, other ways that we remember the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth or Yeshua and what we associate with it. Acts 4 and 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now Acts 10:43. Acts 10:43. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. That's what you should think about when you hear Jesus, when you hear Yeshua. Romans 10 and 13. Romans 10 and 13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. In James 5:14, the condition of sickness is addressed, and we are told what to do. Call the elders. Let them anoint the person. Pray over him. Call upon God for deliverance. And then it says, anoint him in the name of Jesus Christ. Names. Let's see what it says about in Revelation 3 and 5. And I'm going to close with that. Revelation 3 and 5. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Isn't that wonderful? And we see through all of this message on names and things, we see the type of persons and the characteristics of the person that we should be. If you would stand and let's read the blessing of God to us, and then we'll have a closing prayer. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today. And Lord, we ask that you would give your Holy Spirit to us and the power that comes from you to have a good name, a name that is acceptable to you and a name that is acceptable to our neighbors. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you lead and guide our lives. And Lord, let us always keep on the path that leads to you. In Yeshua's name we ask. And amen.